This portion of the Morning Mess brought to you by and sponsored by FHN. It's time for Dial a Doc, and that's just what we're doing today, dialing in Dr. Clarence Parks, FHN's Chief Medical Officer and Director of Hospital Medicine. Good morning, Doctor. How are you today?
I am great. How are you?
Doing all right. Nice to have you with us. Have you been enjoying the early spring weather?
Absolutely. Absolutely. This is a treat of sorts.
Yes. Everybody out and about and people doing things, basically a month ahead of schedule. Well, let's get to this, Doctor. March, National Vaping Awareness Month. Now, we hear a lot about vaping and how it's safer for you than smoking tobacco. Is that true, Doctor?
Well, while e-cigarettes have the potential to benefit some people, it also has the potential for harming others. We as scientists still have a lot to learn about whether e-cigarettes are effective for quitting smoking, which was the original way in which the cigarettes were marketed.
And, I think what probably happens for a lot of folks, they think they're going to go to maybe vaping to quit smoking, and then they quit smoking, but then they continue to vape. So how do these vaping devices work?
Excellent question. So e-cigarettes are devices that heat a liquid into sort of a mist, or we call it an aerosol, which a person then breathes in. This is not water vapor, however, and other people can also breathe in the aerosol that's surrounding them from other individuals that are vaping. When the person vapes, they breathe that out, and that goes into the environment. The aerosol produced by these e-cigarettes usually have a flavoring as well as nicotine, but here's the rub. They're often compounded with harmful and potentially harmful chemicals that are in it. Nicotine is, it's important for us to know that nicotine is a highly addictive substance in any form.
So they do have that nicotine in the vaping juices, if you will. Some other ingredients that they contain, Doctor, or are they kind of maybe mystery at this time?
Well, there are some other ingredients that could be potentially harmful, as I mentioned. These substances can include heavy metals such as nickel, tin, or lead, and there are also ultra-fine particles that are there that can be cancer-causing agents. They also contain, as I mentioned, some flavoring substances. One known substance is called diacetyl. It's a chemical that's linked to serious lung disease and lung injury.
That kind of led me to a next question, Doctor. Are there studies and just what, you know, obviously cigarette smoke hangs out in your lungs and is not good for you. The vape smoke, are there many studies yet to say what the long-term effects of this vaping does for your lungs?
So we are still in that process of figuring this out, but we do know that some of the substances can be potentially harmful and, in fact, cancer-causing. We look at what's the ultimate source of truth, and those are the things that are currently under investigation.
And that kind of leads to the next question. By the way, visiting with Dr. Clarence Parks, FHN Chief Medical Officer, talking about vaping. It's National Vaping Awareness Month. So who monitors what ingredients are included in the vaping juices?
All right. Excellent question. Ingredients have not been carefully monitored. In fact, this is a rub for us in healthcare because this is something that is marketed, but there's almost no real oversight. They have many juices that are made by independent sources. It's an ingredient reporting requirement that was established in 2020, but was delayed in terms of the implementation implementation due to the pandemic. Now required ingredient reports and nicotine analysis must be submitted to the CDC on or before March 31st of this year. So beginning March 31st of this year, ingredient reports for cigarette and smokeless tobacco products are specifications of the quantity of nicotine contained in smokeless tobacco products are imported to the United States for the first time must also be submitted at the time of importation. So we're just getting to mandate all of these ingredients, and then we'll go from mandating these ingredients and seeing where the effect might be.
Now, it seems like a lot of these products come from various places around the world. It seems like they're definitely marketed towards kids. It seems like I've read that there maybe are some laws in place, not totally familiar with it. Are they trying to keep them at least from having Fruit Loops and Oreo flavors that are obviously monitored or, you know, going towards teenagers and that type of new customers, if you will?
Absolutely. So there are many flavors that are banned for the use of pre-filled pods, including those that are commonly marketed under Juul and other pod-type devices. But it's important for us to note that there's over 8,000 e-cigarette flavors on the market. 99% of them contain nicotine. E-cigarette companies claim that they use flavors to help adults quit regular cigarettes, but it is hard for me and other scientists to believe that these flavors are targeting the adult population. My advice to young people is to examine the list of flavors on the side of these e-cigarettes, and these flavors are often compounded to appeal to young people. It's hard for me to believe that they're marketed for the adult population.
I totally agree with you. What about smoking moms that are pregnant to vaping?
Yep, so e-cigarettes have the potential to benefit some adult smokers, but they're not something that I would recommend for the pregnant patient for all of the obvious reasons. Obviously, we would make sure that pregnant patients reduce traditional tobacco products, but also e-cigarettes as well.
What about vaping devices? Some people think they might be a gateway to drug use. Has that been found to be true?
Well, I can tell you that all of the e-cigarettes have some component of nicotine. And as I mentioned before, we all accept the fact that nicotine is a highly addictive substance. Whether or not that is a gateway drug remains to be seen, especially in the young population. This might have its potential gateway effects.
Peer pressure seems to be kind of a, and maybe not even peer pressure, but just seeing other teens doing this might make, you know, some teens, well, maybe I should try that. And it seems to kind of catch on that way.
Yep, absolutely. So this is one of the my advice to young people is to know the facts and know what we're getting into. As I mentioned before, there is over 8,000 e-cigarette flavors that it's hard for me to believe that it's being marketed to the adult population. In fact, targeting the young population for its desired effects. 99% of them contain nicotine. So we really need to get out the message that we got to know our facts about these.
And talking with Dr. Clarence Parks, FHN's Chief Medical Officer, where can someone go to learn more about vaping and some of the effects of vaping, Doctor?
Excellent. So the recommended sites are the CDC.gov and then search for electronic cigarettes. Since the CDC is the regulatory body for this, this is where you can get the most up-to-date information.
All right. Wonderful. We've been talking with Dr. Clarence Parks, FHN's Chief Medical Officer, and the topic National Vaping Awareness Month, and maybe talk with your kids on things like this to maybe cut it off at the pass or at least let them know just what all goes on with e-cigarettes. Thanks so much for joining us today, Doctor. You take care, and I hope to talk with you again soon, okay?
Thank you.
Take care. That has been our Dial-A-Doc, brought to us and sponsored by FHN.